Tonight, a Japanese legend is left paralyzed in the ring. AEW's Tony Khan is promising another major announcement after a busy weekend. WWE has added more stadium shows to their schedule this year, including one across the pond. Did Young Rock drop a major hint at a WrestleMania return for Dwayne Johnson? And as WWE is unifying titles, does this mean the roster will be getting even tighter? And Adam Page is still your AEW champion. But is he the right champion? All that and a lot more tonight on Sunday Night's Main Event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
The cream of the crop.
Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh and new, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Hello, my friend. We meet again. Welcome to another edition of Canada's premier wrestling radio show, Sunday Night's Main Event, powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. Thank you if you're listening on TSN Radio across Canada, or if you're listening on the News Talk or iHeartRadio Talk Networks, or snmeradio.com, where you can find archived editions. And if you're a Patreon member, through patreon.com/snmeradio, you can actually get extended versions of this very show, plus a litany of daily podcasts covering everything in pro wrestling, starting at about $5 a month. But don't worry, you'll get the best we got for free as well. We've got a lot to talk about as the fallout from WrestleMania continues. The build-up to WrestleMania Backlash is on the way, and Tony Khan is promising another huge announcement. There's so much to dive into. As always, we have Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer standing by. He's going to give us some of the inside scoops. But first, let's talk about some of the biggest stories in wrestling this week. This is the Five Count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
We start off with the story from Japan about Shinjiro Otani. A legend in Japanese wrestling is recovering after a successful spinal surgery. This took place after he took a German suplex into a turnbuckle at a recent 0-1 event in Japan. After taking the suplex, the match was stopped as Otani couldn't move any of his major extremities. He was rushed to hospital, and after the successful surgery, is now undergoing further treatment to see if his motion can be restored. Now, if you don't know much about Japanese wrestling, Otani is one of the founders of 0-1, one of the big promotions over there, and he served as the company president for over 15 years. We're wishing the absolute best for Otani and his family. WWE has added even more big stadium shows to their schedule this year. The biggest announcement was that they're headed to the UK for a yet-to-be-named show in the Principality Stadium in Cardiff, Wales. Shout out to SNME Patreon member Paul York, who says he's off to the show. In fact, once that show was announced, pre-sale registration broke records for the stadium. Now you can add this show to the list of events that include Money in the Bank heading to Allegiant Stadium in Nevada, SummerSlam at Nissan Stadium in Nashville, and of course, another Saudi show. So add those to this year's two WrestleMania shows, the Royal Rumble and the other Saudi show. That's 9 giant stadium shows this year. I guess this kind of takes the wind out of the sails for those people that say, well, WWE's not that popular. One person that WWE wasn't popular with was Toni Storm, and she has recently spoken out about why she abruptly left the company and how she ended up in AEW. Appearing on Dave LaGreca's Busted Open radio show, she talked about feeling like she just wasn't in the right place when she was called up to SmackDown. Toni Storm went on to say that she didn't leave on bad terms and didn't have any plans to wrestle anywhere else, but she was grateful that Tony Khan and AEW reached out and are giving her a chance to still do what she loves. Good for her. Okay, you might have seen this on Twitter. In a recent episode of Young Rock, the character of Dwayne Johnson has a random moment with his younger cousin, Joe, who he points out is Roman Reigns, even gives his title history and everything. Now, in the segment, young Roman says that he wants a match against Dwayne, in which Dwayne responds,
"The world's not ready. A match that big can only happen at WrestleMania."
The only thing that would make this more amazing is if the match turned out to be the actor that's playing Young Rock against the actor that's playing Young Roman. It sounds ridiculous, but when you think about it, you wouldn't put it past them, would you? And we're all waiting to find out what AEW president Tony Khan is teasing for his major announcement this Wednesday on Dynamite. Last time he did this, it was to announce that he had purchased Ring of Honor. Now, speculation is running wild again that it could be a team up with New Japan to host a pay-per-view this summer, a TV time slot for Ring of Honor, or even a permanent streaming platform for AEW and ROH. Who knows? Plus, it's post-WrestleMania. WWE is unifying championships. Does this mean that more talent cuts could be on the way? The man that might have some of the answers to these questions and more, Dave Meltzer from The Wrestling Observer, is on the way next, right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus. Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you wanna go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Even on a holiday long weekend, the one and only Dave Meltzer is here. How you doing, sir?
Good. Really good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I found out last week you're not a candy guy. You're not a candy guy at all.
That's actually true. I'm not a candy guy. Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, good for you. I mean, I'm diabetic, so I didn't get a choice in it. But for those that are enjoying their long weekend, hopefully you're getting to spend some time with family or loved ones, or you get to spend time with us here talking about wrestling, which is always good. Interesting week, Dave. Interesting week. We saw a lot of business moves being made, especially by WWE. Some big announcements as far as what they have coming up for their schedule, including stadium shows and
multiple and stadium shows. Yeah.
Or stadium shows.
Yeah. They've got July 2nd, July 30, September 3. And I don't know if Saudi's going to be in the stadium or not, but it's like, yeah, 3 straight stadium shows on pay-per-view.
So by my count, though, assuming that the next Saudi show is in the stadium, that puts us at 9 stadium shows if you count WrestleMania's 2 nights.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something you see as being sustainable going past this year, or is this an experiment on WWE's part?
Well, it's both. The London show is going to sell out.
Yeah.
You know, because they haven't done it there in 30 years and everything. And, you know, the first day demand was 59,000 ticket orders. So it's like, and the place is going to hold like 60 in the 60s. It's maybe 69, I think, is the number. So they're going to sell out. Or Vegas for Money in the Bank is going to be an interesting one, because last year they did well for SummerSlam. This is head to head with UFC. So we'll see. If it does well, then I would say that they would probably do Vegas that weekend every year. And then SummerSlam in Nashville, if they get a good enough number, you know, they'll do that. I don't see the England thing being an annual. Maybe they will. Maybe they will do an England thing as an annual thing now. Now that it doesn't matter the time slot, you know, because, you know, in the pay-per-view days, most of the money was made on pay-per-view. So they had that time slot, and that time slot doesn't work in the UK because it's 1 a.m. there. So now you can do an early in the afternoon pay-per-view, and it's fine because, you know, WWE is not making much money on pay-per-view. They make some, but it's, you know, it's so small that it's not really, you know, anything you worry about. So they can do an England show once or Italy or wherever. They can do a European show once a year. And probably it's a good idea, honestly.
Yeah, this will be one of those shows where the gate actually makes the money, right? Because everything else has been Peacock or network or licensing driven.
Yeah, I mean, they still make more money on Peacock, but the gate for the UK show will be huge. Yes, mm-hmm. They will make a lot of money on the gate there.
Okay, interesting graphic came up. One of our SNME Radio family members, they posted a photo of a promotional slide for Raw and SmackDown. And on SmackDown's side, obviously, Roman Reigns, the face you're having to run the place there. On the Raw side, Cody Rhodes.
Very interesting.
Let me ask you, Cody versus Roman, do you know if there's any word? Are they going to do this title match sooner, later? Is it going to be for one belt? Is it going to be for both?
It would be for both if they do it now. I'm sure they will do it. And I'm sure they will do it SummerSlam at the latest. It could be Vegas. I think that they'll do it like at one of those two stadium shows, I think will be that. Because I figure that the England one, maybe that's Roman and Drew, maybe, you know, just that's just a thought, you know, for the Cardiff, it's actually Cardiff Wales. It's not like it's too soon, because actually the strongest that show would do, you know, on a normal business thing would be the sooner the better, because the more Cody's in WWE, the less he's an outsider, and it's the outsider that's the biggest drawing power of the match. But you're going to go to in Providence in front of 9,000 people, or you're going to try to do when you get all these stadium shows. That's the biggest match they can do right now is Roman and Cody. So I would presume it'll be on either Vegas or Nashville stadium show. That's my gut, but no one's told me. I can ask about it though.
Well, and Cody has been advertised to show up for some SmackDown shows coming up. So I guess we'll see if they're doing anything.
Well, he's doing all the dark matches at SmackDown. They're doing Roman and Seth at every SmackDown show in dark matches.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, when do they decide to throw him on TV? Are we starting to see the rosters merge here again? We're talking about the championships consolidating here or unifying. When they're doing it this time of year and you're always expecting the post-WrestleMania cuts to come, I'm almost picturing them saying, we're going back to single roster here. Has there been any buzz about that?
I've not heard that, but, you know, it would enable them to cut a lot of people. I'll tell you, I know a lot of people were really worried on Friday, thinking Friday was the big cut day, because April 15th had been the cut day for the last 2 years. And April 15th came and went. You know, I was bracing for like a bunch of guys, but nothing happened. Maybe it'll happen this week. I don't know.
We're talking to Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer. Of course, WrestleMania has come and gone. WrestleMania Backlash build is on its way. We've talked about some of the stadium shows that are being announced as well. Over on the other side of the field, we have AEW. We have another Tony Khan big announcement coming out. There's been some speculation this time around that it might be doing some sort of super show or pay-per-view with New Japan. There's also talks about the streaming service, which, of course, we've been down this road before. Maybe a time slot for Ring of Honor. But last time he made this big announcement was the big purchase of ROH. Is he buying another company? Do you know anything that's going on here?
I haven't heard anything about buying another company, but those things that you said would probably be the best speculation. You know, the streaming deal, we know that he's working on that. Obviously, he's got to work on a distribution deal for Ring of Honor because he's got Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor's last show on Sinclair is, you know, last night, today, whatever on the stations that are running it, it's done now. And so they need new distribution to keep it going. So I think that timing wise, that makes the most sense of a story. I heard the rumors of a New Japan AEW show. And the only thing I can say is I asked and it wasn't denied. It wasn't confirmed. And they're not going to confirm to me the surprise. So to me, that leaves that one on the table as a surprise, as a potential surprise, because if they are not doing that show, I believe I would have been told we're not doing that show. So I think that's there's smoke to that fire.
Sticking with AEW. An interesting announcement came out from Big Time Wrestling, which is I guess you call it an indie fed, but they do some pretty big shows, hence their name. But they've announced that Bret Hart is going to be appearing as a manager for FTR. Last time we saw something like this that was rumored to be happening in AEW, and again, nothing confirmed, but it was rumored to be happening in AEW was when Jon Moxley was going to be returning, and they announced that he was going to be a GCW first. Mm-hmm. Now that this announcement for Big Time Wrestling is out, do you see manager Bret Hart appearing in AEW? Has there been any talk about that?
I read it. You know, I just found out about this, obviously. Mm-hmm. I read it as maybe that means that Bret is not going to do AEW, because why would you do that on an indie show this early? You know, I don't know what Bret's, you know, deal is specifically when it comes to WWE. If he has a deal that precludes that, or if he just doesn't want to do AEW. I'll know, you know, within a couple of days on that though. Yeah. I don't know the answer just yet.
No. And that's fair, because it did just come out this morning. So that's totally fair. But I find it fascinating because, again, this is what happened when Moxley came back from his rehab and they announced the GCW appearance first. And right. then he showed up on Dynamite before the show. So,
but with Brett, if Brett was going to come to AEW, and of course everything's different, I would have him debut on Dynamite and not tell anyone, but you know, maybe even go in there where, you know, they're getting beaten down by a manager of somebody. Maybe Callis comes back in the Young Bucks corner. You know what I mean? And
right.
they do a beat down, and FTR goes, we're going to have a surprise next week. And you don't even say his name, because the way the internet is and everything like that, it'll leak. Or you could even directly say, we're going to bring in Bret Hart next Wednesday night. And I mean, I think Bret Hart coming on an AEW show would draw very big numbers for AEW. But if that was the case, why would you do something in, you know, Webster, Massachusetts first, or announce it first from Webster, Massachusetts? But again, this all broke, so I don't know. I know that they've been hinting Brett's name for weeks and weeks. I think Brett's very happy that these guys put him over at this stage. You know what I mean? It's like their hero and everything like that. And, you know, you can watch Dax especially. And he's really doing like a lot of not imitating Brett, but learning from Brett, you know, imitating.
Maneuvers, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I will throw this little Easter egg out there as a bonus. I have some friends that recently worked with him in Calgary at a Bret Hart appreciation night at a Calgary Hitmen game. And so the independent wrestling promotion there, the Prairie Wrestling Alliance, they did a show after the hockey game on the ice.
Right.
Brett was there, and he might have been sporting an FTR t-shirt. So
really?
Yeah. That's
interesting. Well, I can tell you
there.
Well, I can tell you something else.
Mm.
The Calgary Hitmen hockey team contacted me to get jerseys for FTR and CM Punk. They wanted to send. So as far as I mean, none of those guys have told me anything, but I presume that they all had, you know, Calgary Hitmen jerseys, CM Punk and FTR both, got them in the mail in the last month. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have friends in that office at the Hitman as well. So I'm wondering if we talk to the same people anyway.
Yeah. Well, you should ask about that.
Look at us. We're dropping little Easter eggs here on our own show. Okay. Yeah. Dave, before we go, this is a name that many North American fans might not know. In fact, many fans outside of Japan might not readily know. However, after looking up some of his stuff, I did remember some matches he had in WCW. He made some appearances there back in the day.
If you're talking about Otani, had a great match with Eddie Guerrero on a pay-per-view. People raved about that match. Yeah. But Shinjiro Otani, one of the most underrated wrestlers of all time that I have ever seen. The guy was great. And he still was. You know, it's a tragedy, absolute tragedy what happened to him. He's still paralyzed. As of the last I heard, which would have been Thursday. And from, I have not seen the clip, but I know people who've seen it and said it wasn't like, you know, something happened that looked terrible. It just was one of those things like, and sometimes this stuff happens like with Dynamite, you know, just was what, remember Dynamite got hurt like on a drop down and a nothing hit to the back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And Takayama was on a sunset flip, you know, which is a normal spot. It wasn't even a botched sunset flip. And, you know, but a lot of the injuries that you'll see on, sometimes they're on just routine moves. Sometimes they're a spot goes terrible, like Ray Phoenix, right? You know, I mean,
a misstep can blow a quad, right? Like we've seen that happen too, where a guy will just overstride too much, and there goes the leg, right? So, I mean, this stuff can all happen.
Kevin Nash and Vince and Triple H all just, they just took a step and the quad blew out. Yeah. So many, I mean, most wrestling injuries are not those moves that we get scared about.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I've seen some neck injuries on the stuff we get scared about, like with Lance Archer this year or recently. Well, and
even with Big E too, right? Like, I mean,
Big E, he is so lucky because he could have been in a wheelchair with that one for life. I mean, that he had the C1, and that's what, you know, that's the Christopher Reeve injury. And that's a Misawa injury too. So, you know, it killed Misawa and it crippled Christopher Reeve. So he's very, very lucky.
But going back to Otani now, for those that don't know much about him, 01 is a Japanese promotion that many have heard of. He's actually one of the founding members. He was serving as company president. But what were some of his other contributions in the Japanese scene and internationally as well?
Well, so he was part of the really great 1990s New Japan Junior Heavyweight Division with Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Jushin Thunder Liger, Koji Kanemoto. They would be in tags all the time. Sasuke was around. Ultimo Dragon was around. He was in the J Crown, one of the greatest tournaments ever. I think he was in some Super J Cups. So he'd been in big, big tournaments, best of Super Juniors every year. Super worker. His prime was at the same time as Jushin Liger. And Jushin Liger is one of the all-time, you know, you could say Jushin Liger is the all-time greatest junior heavyweight of all time. And if you ask me who's the greatest junior heavyweight, I would say Jushin Liger, Danny Hodge, right? Mm-hmm. So those two are completely different wrestlers, but for their eras, right? And he came along at the same time. He was never going to be the number one guy. And he did go heavyweight afterwards, but he had a small frame, so he was never going to be the big heavyweight that would have been a main star. He went with Shinya Hashimoto to form 0-1 and always been protected, not protected, but always been a star in 0-1. But, you know, like in recent years, because he's in his 40s, you know, all promotions, especially, you're going to promote the younger guys. That was their biggest show in years, the show that they just had last week. And he was in the main event. He was against Takashi Sugiura, who's veteran, you know, 50 years old. And, you know, they're not going to do something stupid, but it was a German into the buckles. And sometimes that move can be concerning. The powerbomb in the buckles is the one that concerns me more, which is the one that nearly ended Sting's career. And we thought ended Sting's career.
Yeah, the buckle bomb. Yeah,
the buckle bomb. Yeah, just a horrible tragedy. But yeah, one of the great workers, you know, especially for his era, very explosive. I mean, I just remember he had a match that I saw with Ultimo Dragon at Sumo Hall in Tokyo in 96. That was phenomenal. But, you know, you could go through, I'm sure he was in all kinds of great tags with Liger, you know, all kinds of matches with Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Fit Finlay, Malenko, you know, all of those characters in the 90s, New Japan. He was, you know, he was one of the best guys in New Japan. And when New Japan was, you know, super hot promotion.
Well, we definitely wish the best for him and his family, obviously, with these spinal injuries. Like, he just had the surgery, as you said. So I'm not sure if they would even be able to test for any restorative movement or anything yet because it just happened. Things take time to heal. So we do hope the absolute best for Ohtani. And Dave, thank you again, as always, giving us the latest and giving us a great little peek into the life of Shinjiro Ohtani. For those that don't know much about him, go hit YouTube, watch some matches, and you'll see what Dave's talking about here. But, sir, thank you for joining us here on the long weekend, and we will talk to you again next week.
Yep, have a great week.
As you heard, we've sent Dave on some fact-finding missions, as he always will deliver, WrestlingObserver.com. And stick around, we deliver some debate, including the continuing question, is Adam Page the right guy to be champion in AEW? We got a lot more lined up for you on the Easter weekend edition of Sunday Night's Main Event.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today. WrestlingObserver.com.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. It is the Easter Sunday edition of the show. Big thanks to Dave Meltzer for being a part of it now. And thanks to Matt Ederer, who joins me. Matt, how are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm great, man. Thank you for having me. Happy Easter.
Same to you, my friend, and to those celebrating, and for those that aren't, happy long weekend. Good for you. Talked about this a little bit earlier on with Dave especially, and with WWE Uniting Championships. The big question is, does this mean that we might be seeing some more consolidation of the rosters? Ugh. Is this even possible? Do you think we're going to have more talent cuts because it is post-WrestleMania season, which is usually when this stuff happens? They've let a lot of people go already. Do they have more room?
Well, tis the season, like you said, Mike, but man, they shed a lot of blood last year. Then what did they release? 86, 90 active wrestlers, right? So there are still some names, like the grizzled young veterans, poor guys in NXT, couldn't get even into the top five for a tag team title gauntlet last week. Whereas a team that has never teamed before, Grayson Waller and Sangha, did manage to get in. So that's a little rough. I think if you look through the roster and comb through it, you can find 8 to 10 names that might even be better off somewhere else. You know what I mean? Mustafa Ali comes to mind.
Well, and that's a big question. Like, what are they going to do with him? Because he's already asked for the release. We knew that when he asked, he had 3 years left on his deal. Ugh. So is he literally just going to be left to flounder and train in his garage, like, or wherever his school is? Because it just seems like such a waste. But again, who knows why they do what they do, but are you interested in seeing the titles unify? Is this a good move? Do you think this should be a permanent thing, or is this going to be one of those short-term solutions again?
I really hope it's a permanent thing. I am interested in it. I think the titles are way more effective when there are less of them, especially the world title. If you have two world champions, you have no world champions in the same company anyway, right? So tag team titles, whatever. I'm very glad the world title has been unified. I hope they keep it up, but they break these things up all the time. They change their mind as the wind blows.
As a fan today, say a live event comes to your city, or even a pay-per-view, does the championship match mean as much to you as it used to?
No, flat out, no, it does not. Wow. I would say, but at the same time, a good championship match will still probably hook me. The last pay-per-view that I paid my own money for was Survivor Series. I think it was 2016, the Goldberg-Lesnar one. They've come back since with SummerSlam. I didn't go to SummerSlam, but the Goldberg-Lesnar match hooked me. So I think it's just whatever you're presenting at the top of the card more than the belt at this point.
And that's the interesting point too. Like, what is a main event back in the day? It was always your world championship match, your main championship match, can be a women's championship match as well, because we saw that happen at WrestleMania a few years back. Will this move, if they do decide to keep the titles unified, will this move result in championships meaning more again? And do you think this is a response to AEW trying to make their championships mean something? But then again, see, I'm arguing that AEW right now has their own brand extension going on. It's not Raw and SmackDown. It's AEW ROH, because they've got a lot of belts there all of a sudden.
Absolutely. Samoa Joe is now the TV champion of Ring of Honor, which is, yeah, very strange. They do have a lot of belts all of a sudden, but I think it's more of an NXT WWE thing, or I think that's how it's going to shake down anyway.
Wait a minute. So you're saying ROH is going to be the NXT of AEW?
Yeah. Yeah, straight up. Really? I think that's exactly what's going to happen, pretty much. I think Tony Khan is going to try to capture that old black and gold NXT feel, the super indie, and that's going to be AEW's development, because that is the type of wrestler that AEW wants anyway, right?
Okay, that's fair. I thought for a second you might have meant it was like the NXT 2.0 of it. And I'm not saying no. That to be funny. Like, I legit thought maybe you thought ROH would just be the feeder system. I think that if they do more of an approach like what you're saying, where it's a super indie. See, I don't think 2.0 is doing everything wrong. I do like the fact that Ziggler came in and got the title for a bit. And, you know, they're trying to lend the big names to NXT now to make it at least part of the company. Whereas before, original NXT was way, way different than what was going on Raw or SmackDown. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we're going to continue this conversation. As we now move on to talking about AEW, we're happy to have a member of the All Elite Weekly podcast, Mr. Joe Aguinaldo, is here. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Happy Easter.
As one of our AEW senior officials here for the SNME Radio Network, AEW, ROH, and New Japan. If the rumors are to be believed that AEW and New Japan are teaming up to do this big event in the summer, does this continue? And do you think that they could be a significant three-tier opponent for WWE moving forward?
There are two answers to that question. From a wrestling perspective, I think absolutely they can be a competition for the WWE. I think their in-ring is, you know, that trio of promotions is as good as anything that's out there. That said, though, if you're just talking the casual fan, you're talking the lapsed fan, whatever, I'm not saying that they won't be competition, but it's going to take a while. I mean, the WWE is still, you know, whether you like it or not, the biggest on the block. And I don't see AEW, ROH, and New Japan, as good as they are, as much as I enjoy them, being any serious competition if you're looking at it from, again, from the sort of the casual fan perspective.
I think I know what Matt's going to say here, but Matt, what do you think? AEW, ROH, New Japan teaming up together. If this stays as a thing, could this be a significant blow to WWE?
A significant blow to that company is going to take years. You know what I mean? But I do think it can make some damage. They could do some damage in the professional wrestling business. A properly presented and properly advertised AEW versus New Japan pay-per-view could sell out a stadium. I'm sure of that. And it could be the first AEW show that does. And that could be huge. That could be huge for AEW. Is it going to instantly end Vince McMahon? No, it will not.
It's funny that you bring up stadium, because we're going to talk about that in just a second here. I'm going to come at you from a different side on this whole thing. AEW, Ring of Honor, and New Japan teaming up together. If this continues, does this not dilute AEW even more and add even more confusion to an already new roster to a lot of fans?
Maybe. And maybe Joe would be better suited to talk about that as the AEW expert, but they could keep them separate but parallel in a way, in the way that we wanted the WWE WCW thing to go down. They could do. Now, that'll take years to establish correctly, of course, but that's the best case scenario. That's what I'm hoping for.
Joe, what do you think? Three brands teaming up together. Doesn't that make a bit of a clutter situation?
You know what? To Matt's point, I think if booked correctly, you might be able to do this. But yeah, I'm kind of inclined to think that it could muddy the waters. Again, I'm not saying that the WWE, you know, did the best job of booking that invasion, but you know, when they had all those people in there, it was nuts. So again, not saying they can't do it, but they would have to really plan that out. I think they would have to also keep those brands separate to a degree, just so you don't muddy the waters. So again, can be done. It won't be easy though.
Too much of a good thing is still too much. And I think that if you don't have those key figures, then you're probably asking for trouble. As for a solo standoff event, though, this could be something interesting. Matt, you brought up stadiums here. I want to bring into the conversation the fact that in a grand total, with all that's been announced, plus what's happened since January, so I'm talking Royal Rumble, two nights at WrestleMania, we are now going to have 9 stadium events, football, soccer, stadium size events in WWE this year. Is the significance of a stadium event losing its appeal? Like, is this watering down WrestleMania, or is this proof that WWE is a lot more popular than people give it credit for? Matt, we'll start with you.
That's an interesting question. It's something I never considered, but it's certainly less special if we see it every single month. So I think you're onto something there. But at the end of the day, it's just a big venue, right? Like, if the crowd's hot and it looks cool, then it's a positive. How could it be a bad thing?
Joe, what do you think, man? We're going to have 9 stadium shows total. 2 of these are Saudi shows. One was the Royal Rumble. So, I mean, it's a baseball stadium, but still, I mean, it's a giant stadium. Does this take away the significance of other big stadium shows for you?
As someone who's watched in, you know, arenas, I think it does. I mean, the stadium show makes it feel special. When WrestleMania before used to be in the stadium, or when there was only one stadium show, it was like, yes, here's your big show. If you're going to do everything in a stadium, now, again, kudos to WWE if they can do it. But I think that's not sustainable. I think that's going to lose its appeal. Maybe not this year, but I think within the next few years, you can't just keep doing stadium shows. I don't see that happening.
It was interesting that Money in the Bank was one of the first shows announced to be in a stadium outside of the regular realm of big shows. You know, it kind of went from WrestleMania to WrestleMania and Royal Rumble, and then WrestleMania to Royal Rumble to Money in the Bank, and now SummerSlam. And now we're getting into this weird territory with these other shows. So, I mean, I think the UK event is going to be off the charts because they haven't had this caliber of a show in so long. But everything else, yeah, I think it's kind of subject to, oh, yeah, that's good for them. We'll see what happens. We got a lot more to talk about. This is Sunday Night's Main Event. I'm Mike McGuire with Joe Aguinaldo and Matt Ederer. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to continue the debate. Adam Page, as your world champion, defended the title this past Friday on Rampage. We're still waiting to see ratings numbers as to whether or not it benefited in the long run there. Plus, is Tony Khan finally realizing that if you use something a little too much, it takes away its specialness? That and a lot more coming up on Sunday Night's Main Event.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Well, how's your doodle? Rolling Baggage here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
Thanks for finding Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. Mike McGuire here with members of our SNME Radio family, Matt Ederer and Joe Aguinaldo, as we're talking about everything going on this Easter Sunday edition. Of course, it was a busy weekend. If you're a wrestling fan, AEW had a couple of big shows with Rampage on Friday night, the big world championship Texas death match, quote unquote, because as Matt and I will definitely bring up is that it's not a true Texas death match rules, but it's the AEW Texas death match rules. So Joe, as our AEW official here, Joe Aguinaldo, what do you think of the whole Texas death match between the two Adams, Adam Page and Adam Cole, baby?
I mean, it was an intense match. I would have liked to have seen one of them wear a white t-shirt just back.
Thank you.
Old school, you know, like the jeans, the cowboy boots,
knee pads outside of the jeans. Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, old Dusty Rhodes bunkhouse brawl type stylies. Yeah, it was an intense match. It was a good match. I need to see more of that Adam Page versus sort of your electric car driving
Tesla
Adam
with
Page.
Horns. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I thought that was arguably one of his better presentations since he's been the AEW champion, and they need more of that.
If you're a part of the SNME Radio Patreon family, you may have heard our Rampage Ramble this past week as Matt and I went through what was going on the show. Matt, we've already kind of expressed our feelings towards Adam Page as champion, but the match itself for you, did it deliver on all counts for you?
Absolutely. I thought, yeah, great match. You could talk me into it being a classic. If you really love that style, like the weapons, the hardcore match, go watch this match. You'll really, really enjoy it. I thought it was probably the best Page has looked as champion. Maybe you could say like his other Texas death match with Lance Archer was as good or better. But yeah, these brawls where there's blood and there's weapons, that's where Adam Page is shining.
Guys, I felt weird. It's been a month and we haven't seen thumbtacks used in AEW.
They've made thumbtacks mundane. That's one failing of AEW. Like thumbtacks are just another spot now.
Okay, so speaking of mundane then, Adam Page as the champion that CM Punk could be facing against. Is this the match you want to see?
You know what? I'm going to zag where other people are zigging on this one. A lot of people are like, "Wow, Hangman Page sucks as a champion." I think he's doing it for me. I am liking this reign. I think it's underrated. And yes, I am excited for that match, but it is also probably time for Punk to win the title.
Again, I like Adam Page as a wrestler. I like him as a performer, but I just don't feel that this reign has been great. It's been good, but it hasn't been great. If and when Punk and Page wrestle, most likely at Double or Nothing, I'd like to see Punk win, and then you rebuild Adam Page into that star.
Can CM Punk beat Adam Page, but still elevate Adam Page at the same time?
I think he can. I mean, CM Punk is a great wrestler. Adam Page isn't garbage. Don't get me wrong. I just think that right now his first title reign hasn't really hit the mark for me as much as I like him.
And that's what I've been saying too, is that I love Adam Page. I love Adam Page. I think the title is a year overdue. I think they just missed a lot of the fire this guy had with the lightning in a bottle. I'm not saying they can't get it back, but Matt, is there a situation where these two, Adam Page and CM Punk, have the match and somehow Adam Page leaves without the title, but leaves a bigger star?
Yes, it has to be a cracker of a match. Has to be really, really good. It can't happen. I think it happened with Darby, but it hasn't happened with all of Punk's opponents, right? You could argue MJF's a little worse off after the feud because he's kind of just floundering in the mid-card with this Wardlow thing. You could argue that some of Punk's opponents haven't been helped, but I think by and large they have been, and I think Hangman Page will be.
You know, I remember having a conversation with Sheamus, and he wasn't in the world title picture at the time. And I'd brought up the same thought. I was kind of like, you know, what's next for Sheamus? When are you going to get back in there? And he brought up a great point. And whether you're a huge Sheamus fan or not, I don't think MJF is floundering. I think you need time for him to still be present, but just not be in that main event scene for a bit, because as we know, the main event scene is so jam-packed in AEW. So a good, consistent feud with Wardlow gets Wardlow over in the long run, and then MJF cranks up a notch. And again, I mean, we could have MJF Punk 3 be for the championship, which I think is exactly where it has to go. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I've always contended that MJF is going to win that belt. At first, I thought it was going to be Adam Page. But if they go this Adam Page CM Punk route, it makes sense to have MJF eventually beat CM Punk for that belt. That's the rubber match for their feud. And now you've got a heel champion potentially that you could have Adam Page chase. And hopefully by then he'll have some of his fire back.
All right. Well, talking about fire and building anticipation for someone, this past Wednesday on Dynamite, Samoa Joe becomes your new Ring of Honor television champion. The fabled Lights Out. This was a big thing in ECW. We all know that Tony Khan was a huge ECW fan. And anytime it's been Lights Out and Lights Up, it's always been either a big debut or a big return of a star. In this case, it was a debut of someone that nobody has ever seen in a wrestling ring, in Satnam Singh. So here's what we know. Basketball player from India. Huge guy, big time monster looking dude, but nobody knew who the heck he was. Tony Khan has since come out and said, you know what? The fans are right. I overused the lights out, lights on thing in this. Is this something that needs to go away for a while? Matt, we'll start with you.
You know what needs to go away? Not even the overuse of the lights. And I like Tony Khan, but Tony Khan over explaining every time he stubs his toe. That's what needs to go away. I'm sick of honestly, and I do like Tony Khan, but this bugs me more than anything about this guy. Like, if something screws up, he feels like he owes the fans an explanation, but it kind of ruins wrestling in the process. Like, he destroys kayfabe to do it. And it's just like, it's never fun. It never helps the show. It never really helps anything. It's just like, it's okay, Tony. We trust you. I trust you, Tony. You don't need to do that. We know it's going to be okay. We know we're in good hands at this point.
Wow. I didn't expect you to go that way. All right, Matt. What about you, Joe? The lights out, lights up thing. Is this something that needs to go away for a while?
Yes. I mean, again, like anything, you do it too many times, it becomes normal, and then it just becomes cliche. But to Matt's point, because dude stole a bit of my thunder, 100% agree with him. I don't think Tony Khan, no, Vince McMahon and WWE rarely apologize for some of the stuff that they do. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but they're the promoters. They're the ones booking this stuff. Yeah, go ahead and book this stuff. You're not always going to land on it. And if you don't land on it, not a big deal. You know, you're going to do more anyways, right? So I agree with Matt. Like, he doesn't need to apologize for every single thing.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. I'm Mike McGuire. That was Joe Aguinaldo and Matt Ederer joining me here. Gentlemen, before we wrap up the show this week, a bit of late breaking news that came out late last night. And that is that something that's been rumored to be happening for a long time now is going to be happening, officially announced for a big time wrestling show. And that is that FTR are going to have, for the first time as a manager in their corner, Bret the Hitman Hart. This is something that's been rumored for a while now to be happening in AEW, but it wasn't announced in AEW. However, Jon Moxley's return to wrestling was first announced for GCW, and then he came on Dynamite a few days before that. So the question is, on Dynamite, maybe even this week, maybe next week, are we going to see the Hitman in the corner of FTR, Matt?
I would think so. You gotta think so. We've seen Bret on AEW TV before, so to me, there's no reason to not expect it other than Bret's health. And if he's okay, which I don't know, I have no idea. I haven't talked to the man once in my life, but if Bret Hart is okay and up to it, I would think that he's coming to AEW, yeah.
Joe, if Bret Hart shows up with FTR on Dynamite, is this something that you've been expecting? Is this something that's going to make you happy?
I'll definitely mark out as someone who grew up watching Bret Hart. And here's the thing. They've been doing these little Easter eggs, and usually when they do that, they deliver. So I am fully expecting Bret Hart to walk out on AEW TV. And when he does, I'll be you'll hear me from Mississauga. I'll be cheering pretty loud.
I'm not going to lie. I have the guy's number. I have not texted yet. I might be doing that soon. We'll see what happens, but he won't tell me. He won't tell me either way. But if it does happen, I'm just going to make this one suggestion to him, and I'm going to make it here, and then I'll make it in the text as well. Matching Hitman jackets for all three of them. And I'm talking shoulder tassel, full leather jackets. Like, yeah, let's get all three of them out there.
FTR would be totally into that too.
Absolutely. That's got to be the way it goes right there. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for being a part of this Easter Sunday edition of Sunday Night's Main Event. To everybody listening to us across Canada on the TSN, iHeartRadio, Talk Networks, or wherever you're listening to one of our affiliate stations, thank you very much for that. If you're listening on the road right now and you're driving around, or if you've downloaded the show through snmeradio.com and we are your listening material for a trip home, please drive safely. Have a safe and happy Easter, gentlemen. Appreciate both of you.
Oh, thank you very much for having me, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Ditto. Happy Easter.
Thank you for listening and letting us do what we do. Till next time, play safe, drive safe. I'll be seeing you.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.